Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Ramsey coming to you from Missouri. We're still teaching on the exclusivity of Israel to God's covenants, and we've been having to divide up the lessons on different CDs to get all the material on. And we started with the proof of the exclusivity of Israel in the Old Testament, and we got into a little of the New Testament. We're going to finish the New Testament now, and probably we'll have a little time for the chapter on adoption, where Paul talks about us being adopted, and sonship and that kind of thing. There are lots of things we got to talk about yet. And so we hope you'll stick with us and take time. We are printing the material and publishing it in book form. It'll be booklet form, and this material will be printed and eventually sent to you so you can study it. Also, I would like to announce on here that we are looking for a great time in Branson on April 27th through the 29th at a homecoming conference for all of God's covenant people. Along with speakers, they'll have Pastor Dave Barley from Idaho. We'll have Pastor Dr. Lawrence Blanchard and his wife from Idaho. We'll have Dr. Don Elmore, pastor of the church in Kentucky, Florence, Kentucky. And we may have some others. We'll have a preacher here from Arkansas. I'm not sure that he will speak or preach, but he may take a few minutes to announce the ministry. Brother Charles Jennings wants to come. He has appointments in England and other places, but he's going to try to work us in, and hopefully he will make it, and we'll have him speak probably at least one time. So we're looking forward to a great time in the Lord, and we'll have music. Larry Sullivan and his wife will be there to run the music. We tried to get a hold of some special music, but weren't able to get special music, so if some shows up, we'll use it. That's the way I've worked all my life, is if God wants us to have something, he usually sends it. So anyway, we had hoped that you would try to come. If you can't come, that's fine. We understand. We will make the videos available after the conference. We have a family coming that's going to do the videotaping for us and put it on CD or DVD. So here we go. We're going to go into the next lesson, next part of the lesson, on the exclusivity of Israel to God's covenants proven in the New Testament. In all of the New Testament, we must register that the word Hellen, H-E-L-L in the Greek, and its variations are used 35 times. This is a lot of times. There is never one proposition that the word might mean someone who is not an Israelite. The translators seem to have thought that this should have been so because that at times they switched the translation to the word Gentiles, which they thought might suggest non-Israelites. But the problem is that the word Hellen or Greek speaks specifically to the 10 tribes that were dispersed in the dispersion out of the northern kingdom, the house of Israel. There is no explanation ever presented to support the view that Greeks means all of the non-Jewish races or the non-Israelite races. I don't like the word Jewish. The word Jewish today represents a people who are not Israel. From history, we find just where the body of the dispersion was at the time following the captivity of Assyria and Babylon. They were about parts of the old Greek Empire in northern Greece and Asia Minor. It is not unreasonable, then, that they should be called Greeks, because this is where they were found. We can also see this from where the Apostle Paul traveled. This is the area where they were. When he says he was sent to the Gentiles, the word Gentiles means to the house of Israel scattered among the Greeks. It does not say that they were Greeks by race or that they were non-Israelites. The concordances suggest that they were Greek-speaking. This is a comment that I need to make. The Apostle Paul came from the city of Tarsus in Cilicia. This made him one of the Greeks himself. He was a Hebrew by birth, a Benjamin by tribe, and a Roman by citizen. He points this out in Rome and Romans. And he was a Jew or Judean because he lived in Judah and he worshipped among the religion of the Jews. And Jesus had to save him out of all of it. In fact, you know, he knocked him down on the road to Damascus, in order to get his attention. But he was brought up in Judea and a Pharisee trained in Judaism. Never forget these dual meanings of Jew. The nation term does not determine racial origin in itself. Can anyone be justified in continuing to say that race and birthplace are always the same to prove a doctrine? Yet this is what we hear as a common teaching. These are Israelites are children of promise, Galatians 4:28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. This promise is an allegory, verse 24, and a comparison of relationships between those who are under the law and those of them who have become partakers of the promise under the New Testament. The law is the issue all the way through. The issue is not Israelites and non-Israelites, because the non-Israelites never had the law covenant in the first place. In verse 5, we are told Jesus came to redeem them who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption or the placing of as sons. We'll talk about that in a special lesson. There is never a suggestion about any who were not brethren being redeemed or of receiving the adoption. They all have to be brothers or brethren of the same race. They are all adelphos, or kinsmen from the same womb. Some will not like this definition, so let us consider some lexicon and dictionary sources. The word brethren, according to Thayer, means from the same womb, a brother, any blood relation or kinsman having the same ancestor, belonging to the same people, a fellow man, one having descended from the same father. Vine, W. Vine, has for the word Adelphos, denotes a brother or near kinsman. In the plural, a community based on identity of origin of life. Davidson says the word means the womb. Delphos means the womb. A brother, a near kinsman, a relative, one of the same nation or nature. Bullinger says brother or kin, near a generation or kinsman, then in the plural, a vital community based on dignity and identity of origin.